Maybe. Testing 1. 2, 3, 4, 5. Are we on? Now we're good? All right. Praise God. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Praise God. Praise God. Kind of in addition to what Brother Steve was talking about in the offering, you know, when you give, it goes two places. It goes to God, of course, but it also goes to the benefit of the person that, or the ministry that you're given to. And sometimes it may be a person, it may be a ministry, but it goes to God, and it goes to, if we could say, man. The good news is that even if man doesn't make good on what you gave, God can still make good and will still make good on what you gave if you gave with a heart towards him, right? So some people, you know, when they give, they just view it as, I'm giving to a man. I'm just giving to a ministry, and that's the last I'll see of that. But it's always going two places. What if I don't get recognized for my giving? What if man doesn't? What if I help somebody else out and they don't help me out? What if I give and give and give and give to folk and they don't give and give, return the favor to me? What if I lend someone something, then I ask them for something and they won't lend to me? The Bible says that when you lend to the poor, the Lord will repay. So just know that every time you give, don't worry about, of course you want to give in the good ground, and I'm obviously not talking about our house. Our house is good ground, but just wherever you are, you want to give in the good ground. But when you give, know that offering is with God. Just because it went into a church or a bucket somewhere, and obviously the church uses it to, you know, pay bills and do other things that have to be done, God has that. God has that offering, and the harvest, yes, coming out of the kingdom when you need it, because he knows what's coming down the road, will be there when you need it. So just thought I would share that. So tonight we are talking about kingdom focus. Kingdom focus. We find ourselves in a season right now where there are many of the world systems, the world supply chain, the world's infrastructure, are all being challenged right now. There is, as I mentioned earlier, there is stress being put on the world system. There is stress being put on the world, and on most of its infrastructure. Some industries and infrastructure are, you know, maybe not necessarily be feeling it, but for the most part, critical, essential, you know, infrastructures in the world are feeling what's going on right now. So there's a lot of stress being put on those systems, a lot of challenges being put on those systems, and you're starting to see the limitations of the world system, right? The world system is great until you put too much stress and pressure on the healthcare system, then you start to see the limitations of what man can do, right? And what man has, and you know, some part with the help of God, you know, put together. Healthcare is good, right? Doctors and nurses, and even going back to, you know, biblical days, and many hospitals that were founded by believers, you know. So don't get me wrong there, but you do see the limitations of the things of this world when you put enough stress and pressure on them. Everything works fine and dandy when there's no pressure on them. When there's no stress, and it's not being challenged by millions and millions of people, right? But if enough people start pulling at the banks all at one time, that financial system will feel the stress of that. And so we're in a season where we're seeing that happen to varying degrees. And while we as believers, we are salt and light in the earth, we are here, and we're here to help. There's a lot of believers on the front lines that are helping and are giving, bringing relief to people in need and who need help, and that's good. So we're here to help. We're here to encourage, and we're here to assist those people that are being affected by coronavirus and the ripple effects that is having around the world and around this nation. So we're here, we're helping, we're assisting, and we even ourselves, you know, to some degree might find challenges trying to knock at our door while all of this is going on. And even if that happens, just because we all know that just because it knocks at the door doesn't mean we have to receive it. Okay, just because it knocks doesn't mean that we have to open the door, invite it in, give it some lemonade, let it sit on the couch, you know, put your feet up. You want to watch some TV? You want a remote control? But we may find challenges knocking at our door in this moment, being in situations that we've never been in before, you know, trying to, you know, reconfigure schedules and, you know, families, and you have loved ones in different states and cities, and, you know, wondering what's going on. Are they okay? And, you know, all the things that, you know, this thing right here kind of gets can get caught up in if we're not focused here in the spirit. And we all, to some degree in our lives, have been pulled in that direction, if we're honest, right? But even if the challenges are knocking at our door, we have to remember that while we are in the world, we are not of the world, okay? And that's not only just morally, but it's authoritatively as well. Some people say that, well, we're not of the world because, you know, morally we don't do the same things that they do. But it's that, of course, but it's not just that, but it's authoritatively as well, okay? It's not that we just don't do or behave like the world behaves, but we aren't, and we don't have to be limited like the world is limited, or dependent like the world is dependent. And not to say that we don't function and operate in the world or benefit from the things that God has put in the earth, or that, you know, we don't stay up to speed and aware and in the know about what's going on, right? We don't bury our head in the sand. We're aware of what's going on, but we have perspective. Okay? We have perspective in the midst of everything. And so we aren't just limited to what the world has to offer. Because what if the world can no longer offer it to you? When those systems start to crash a little bit and are stressed a little bit, what happens when the world can't offer it to you? So we aren't just limited by what the world has to offer, right? when it is not functioning, we have a greater source to continue to function. We derive from a better kingdom. So when the world is not functioning or is not functioning optimally, we have a greater source so that we can continue to go on and continue to function, and we have to be mindful of that. We have to keep our kingdom that we are ambassadors of, where we're truly from, in perspective in all that we do. So when it's not functioning, we can continue to function, okay? We don't, now it may look a little bit different because we may have to operate a little bit differently and move a little bit differently, and, you know, people are trying to get spaced out and, you know, all that, you know, but we can still function. Even if the world can't get it to us, God can. Somehow, some way, God can work it out. God can get it to us, okay? So we don't have to be shaken, distraught, in despair, or fearful like the world, okay? Consider it, yes. Cautious, okay. Prudent, yes. Wise, yes. Fearful, no, right? So there's a difference, and Brother John talked about it a few weeks ago. Yes, we can be wise and prudent, but we don't have to be fearful. Is that right, Brother John? Okay, all right. I got Brother John's approval. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of things which have the ability to be shaken. The world system has the ability to be shaken. It is a created thing. Created things have the ability to be shaken, and it's being shaken right now. So he says, it denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, meaning created things. It says here in your Bible, this means created things, natural created things, so that the things which cannot be shaken, there are things that cannot be shaken. And they are the things of God. They cannot be shaken. So that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Okay? When we go through something, when we deal with something, sometimes things get shaken that need to be shaken so that what is of God in us can remain. Right? Sometimes we go through things and things get shaken off. Right? Things that are not of God that need to get shaken off, and what remains is of God, right? So the more we kind of deal with and win and overcome different challenges, the more like Christ we are becoming, right? The things that remain are the things that could not be shaken, right? So if some things got shooken off of you, that's okay as you went through the trial, because when you came out, what was left is what couldn't be shaken, right? So that those things which cannot be shaken may remain, verse 28, therefore, since we, that would be us believers, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, we are part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We derive our source from a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We're here on the earth, but we receive from heaven. We receive from the kingdom. This is an outpost of the kingdom, and we are ambassadors here in the earth. So even when the earth isn't working, the kingdom always is. Even when the world is being shaken, the kingdom is not being shaken. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and with awe. So we are citizens of an unshakable kingdom that is being expressed now. Jesus and John the Baptist said the kingdom of heaven has drawn near, has drawn nigh. Jesus said the kingdom is within you. The kingdom now is now inside of believers, right? We don't see the buildings and, you know, the gates and all that yet. That's to come. But we do have a down payment of the kingdom right now where we can rule and reign in the earth with kingdom authority. Right. That is present. So it's both present now. It's expressed now. And then it's to come in its fullness. Right. In the new age and the new season. Right. So both John the Baptist and Jesus preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, has drawn near. So just because the world may say we don't have a solution for you, we don't have a hospital bed for you, we don't have a doctor for you, they're all taken up, we don't have a raise for you, we don't have a job for you, we don't have a cure for you, we don't have a hope for you, we don't have a school for you, we don't have a class or a teacher for you. Just because the world says we don't have a solution for you, we know we have a God who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just because the world's solution is no longer there, or may not be there, or may be shaken, God still has a way out for you. God still has a solution for you. The kingdom of God is separate from the world systems. That's the healthcare system, the financial system, the educational system. The health and financial and educational systems of the kingdom of God are not on lockdown. They are not on lockdown. Healthcare in the kingdom is not on lockdown. It is still available to us. We can still lay hold of it. The provision of God, the financial system of the kingdom, is not on lockdown. You know, it's not going in the toilet. It's soaring. We can still pull provision from the kingdom that we are members and citizens of, that we are a part of. So the kingdom of God is not on lockdown. It is an unshakable kingdom, and it's always there. We can continue to receive and draw from it, draw on it by faith. And the currency of the kingdom, we all know, is faith. So continue to keep your faith out there for the things of God, for God's kingdom. Have that kingdom focus. Don't get caught up with the fact that the world doesn't have a solution for me. I'm not getting what I need from the world. We get what we need from our kingdom, from the unshakable kingdom that we are citizens of. We can continue to receive and draw from the kingdom of God even when the world system is sputtering. The kingdom of God is still going. We may have to operate and move around a little bit differently, but we can continue to draw, receive, have faith and hope, and be taken care of like we always have. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Okay? For the kingdom of God, it is BAU. Business as usual. Now, in the world, it's not that. Everybody's scrambling. There's a lot going on, and people are trying to fix things. They're trying to help people, and that's good. But in the kingdom, it is business as usual. The health, provision, life, peace, joy, comfort, hope, direction, strength, power, and ability are all still functioning in the kingdom. They have not gotten turned off for non-payment of bill. It is not on lockdown. All of those things, the things of God, are still functioning in the kingdom and are still available. In the season that we're in, and I alluded to this before, the ambassadors of God have a golden opportunity to represent and display the kingdom posture. I'll say that again. The ambassadors of the kingdom have a golden opportunity to represent and display the kingdom posture of hope, joy, peace, comfort, and victory in times of turmoil. That is the kingdom posture, that I don't have to be moved just because the world is moving. The kingdom of God is not subject to the limitations, decay, ups and downs, or failures of the world system. It's not subject to it. It is complete, separate, independent from the world system. It is business as usual in the kingdom. Angels are still ministering. The Holy Spirit is still dealing with people. God's health and provision, God's healing power is still there. His peace, his joy, celebration, and rejoicing can all still go on. God is not socially distancing himself from you. It is business as usual. There is no distance between you and God. And because those watching by live stream, there is no distance in the spirit, right? So although we're physically social distancing in the spirit, we're all connected and hooked up together. Don't lose sight of that. I'm looking at the camera. I'm looking at you in your living room. No, I'm just kidding. I always wanted to do that. So the kingdom of God is not subject to the limitations, decay, ups and downs, or failures of the world system. Listen, whatever is born of God, whatever is of God, overcomes the world. Okay? Let's take a look at that. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 4, for whatever is born of God, how many of you are born of God, overcomes the world. The things going on in the world right now, you have already overcome them, little children. The Bible says, you've already overcome it. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. How do you overcome in the midst of what's going on right now? Faith. Have faith in God. Faith through knowledge produces truth in action. Our vision, our focus as a church is extremely relevant right now. Have faith in God, right? This is the victory. How do you walk in victory in the time and season that surrounds us right now? Faith. Yes. Have faith in God. Trust God. Know that you are a citizen of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Even though things and people may be shaking around you, even though you feel like you want to shake, you can trust God. Believe God. Cast your care over on him, because he can handle the pressure. The kingdom that we're a part of can handle the pressure. It's not going to crack because it's unshakable. It's an unshakable kingdom. Whatever is of God, whatever is born of God, overcomes the world. The things of God can't be broken, can't be shaken. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. The things of God are steadfast and sure. Therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine, God's words are of him. The words of Jesus are of God. Those have overcome the world. When you get a word from God, know that the word that you got, even if the world says it can't be done because it's of God, it will overcome the things that are trying to keep it from coming to pass, because it overcomes the world. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. There's that unshakable foundation. who built this house on the rock because I built it on the things of God. And the rain fell. How many of y'all know it's raining right now? Not physically raining, but symbolically it's raining outside. The rains fell. The floods came. We've had financial waves. We've had waves of sickness and viruses. The floods came and the winds blew and slammed. The world is being slammed right now, right? And slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall for a reason. It had been founded upon something of God. It had been founded upon the rock, and that rock couldn't be shaken. And if I'm adhered to the rock, if I'm one with the rock, I don't have to be shaken. Now, I can be, but I don't have to be. I have a way of escape. I have a way out. I have overcome the world because I'm part of an unshakable kingdom. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, sand can be shaken. Sand can be moved. The rock can't. Like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Anything not built upon the things of God are subject to be shaken, are subject to fall, right? But the good news is that the things that are built upon the things of God, the lives that are built upon the things of God, these things are anchored in a foundation that cannot be shaken because they come from a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood, natural means, did not reveal this to you, but my Father who was in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Whatever is built upon the things of God, in this case, it's the revelation of who Christ is, right? But whatever is built on the things of God, whatever is built on that rock of the things of God, that foundation, it says, and the gates of hell will not overpower it, will not prevail against it. God's will is going to be done. God's will is going to be done. What God wants to happen is going to happen. I choose to be hooked up with his will and be in his flow. And if I am in his flow and I am walking in his will, plan, and purpose for my life, I don't have to worry about what's coming. I will overcome it. I will fulfill the vision, the purpose that God has for my life if I'm hooked up and walking in that direction. I don't have to be swept away. I can be anchored, firm. The Bible says this gospel is an anchor for the soul. What is the soul? It's the mind, the will, and the emotions. Right now, people's mind, will, and emotions need to be anchored because they're going everywhere, right? So, but the anchor, the gospel, brings an anchor to your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. God has called us to be anchored in Christ, to be rooted in the foundation that we are in this world, but we are not of it. We are members and citizens of a far superior kingdom that's separate from this. And so while we're in the earth and we enjoy the things God has put in the earth and we're walking his purpose out in the earth, like an ambassador who's in one country but is a citizen of another, that ambassador gets their resources, their supply, their protection from the host country. When the world fails, and there's not only are you hearing about, you know, viruses, you're hearing about earthquakes too. I think I heard 4 reports in the last couple of weeks about earthquakes going on in the middle of all this. Jesus said, it ain't nothing but birth pains. You're gonna hear about that stuff. It comes, it goes, you know, but the end is not yet. That's what he said. So, but it doesn't have to matter for me if I'm hooked up with his will, plan, and purpose for my life. And I'm walking in that direction. That if it's God's will, it's God's bill. God's will is sure. It's foundational. It's of God. That means it's built upon the rock. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. I'm walking in God's plan for my life. I can win over every situation and obstacle that comes my way. Because I am of God, I am born of God, I cannot be stopped when I'm hooked up and going in that direction. God's will be done. Now, my will may not get done, but God's will get done. There's nothing more powerful than what God wants. What God wants to happen in my life will not be stopped by what's going on in the world. I am part of an unshakable kingdom, and I choose to stand on an unshakable foundation that the floods can come and come and come, and I may even feel it. But when everything is said and done, I can be still standing there, strong and tall, victorious, prosperous, whatever. You can prosper in a famine. You can prosper in a famine. You don't have to. Now, you can. But you don't have to go broke just because everybody else is going broke around you. You can stand, believe, confess, receive that I get my provision, my supply, not from the stock market, but from the kingdom that I am a citizen of. Amen. So he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you declare to be unlawful on earth will be that which has been declared to be unlawful in heaven, and whatever you declare to be lawful or loose on earth shall be what is loosed in heaven. We have an unshakable kingdom that we are a part of, and the gates of hell cannot overpower it. Know that even with the systems failing around you, your supply chain is still functioning and at full capacity. I'll say that again. Know that even with the systems failing around you, your supply chain is still functioning at full capacity, and you can confess that. Not saying you won't or can't be stretched or challenged. You may encounter a tribulation or a trial. Not saying that these things may not knock at your door and present themselves and say, can I come in? Can I spend the night? Well, you've been here a night. You still staying? Now you've been here a week. It's supposed to be one night, but when you invite a squatter in, they just want to stay and stay. Not saying that these things won't knock at your door, but you can win over every obstacle. You can prosper in the midst of famine. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Starting at verse 11. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. I believe Brother Steve read this Sunday or last Wednesday. He read this verse. Not that I speak from want or from lack, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in. Can you be content right now? I know how to get along with humble means. and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any, somebody say any. In any, in every, somebody say every. In any and every circumstance, there's some circumstances going on right now. In any and every circumstance, I have learned. That means repetition. Gone through some things over and over and over again. Now I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Here's the secret. I can do and handle anything that comes my way. This is what he's saying in verse 13. I can do and handle anything that comes my way through Christ who strengthens me. Christ is your strength in the midst of the storm. We talked about in the midst last Wednesday. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of coronavirus, in the midst of systems, world systems being challenged, Christ is your strength in the midst of the storm. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. We have to keep our eyes fixed on him. Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life, as to what you will eat, nor about your body, as to what you will put on. For life is more than food." I think people are realizing right now that life is more than some of the things that they have been focused on before this came up. Some people are realizing that. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom or barn. The world system isn't doing anything for them. And yet, some of us need an and yet God feeds them. They can't draw from the world systems, from stocks and bonds and banks, and they don't draw from that. God takes care of them. So what is that for us? Even when things are closed up and shut down, folks looking for toilet paper, they want to get Charmin clean. You know, somehow, some way, God can leave you to the right roll of toilet paper at the right time. He can make a way where there seems to be no way, whether small things like toilet paper or big, big things. Okay? He can make a way where there seems to be no way. We just have to trust and obey and follow and listen and fix our eyes and know that we are citizens of a greater kingdom. Know that God is strengthening us. Know that God is taking care of us. Know that even when things look crazy, God is still working. God still has a plan for my life. God is still working in me, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. He who began a good work in me, he's going to bring it to pass. He's going to bring it to completion. That's where our faith and our hope has to be fixed on. So he says, "And God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds?" This is for the birds. No, I'm just kidding. "How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, and which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan?" Basically, Jesus says, what good does it do to worry? What good does it do to be anxious? It doesn't add any time to your life. If you read some studies, sometimes it takes away from people's lives. Yeah. So he says, don't worry. He's always throughout the Bible, God's always saying, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. He shows up to people. Angels show up. First thing they said, do not fear. Why? Because, ooh, angel, ooh. God is very clear. He doesn't want his children to be afraid of him. Okay? And he says that you are more valuable than the birds. Which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do a very little thing, I can't heal a headache by myself. If you can't even do a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Why do you worry about the big stuff? You can't even do the little stuff. Some people say, well, I take care of this, God take care of the big stuff. No, you can't even take care of the little stuff. You need God's grace for that too. You just don't know it. You don't always recognize it. Why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They can't sew clothes. They can't get fabric. They can't go down to the store. They can't go down to Hobby Lobby and put some stuff together. They can neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. Says they couldn't pull from, they can't pull from worldly clothing stores, and they can't sew, and they can't, and yet they decked out anyway. Some of us need to have an anyway attitude when it comes to the kingdom of God. The world says this is cut off, this isn't working, it's going to be hard for you to get here, do this, do that. Opportunities are limited. We need to say anyway. God decked them out anyway. Somehow, some way, we don't always know and understand how it's going to come, where it's going to come from, how it's going to come in, but somehow, some way, God takes care of what's his. And we are of him. We belong to him, and we are part of an unshakable kingdom. Verse 28, but if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you? How much more will he take care of you? I have to believe, receive, say, confess, God is taking care of me. Even if I have to say it every morning when I get up, God is taking care of me. God is taking care of me. God is taking care of me. Things feel lean right now. Things seem lean right now. Philippians applies then. We just read it. I've learned to be content when things seem lean. I'll get through this lean season, but it doesn't stop God's big plan for my life. I know I will enter into his abundant provision. I know I will enter into that place that he has for me, that dream that he put in my heart. It may be a lean moment right now. What do you do in lean moments? You learn to be content. I can still come to church or view online, or I can still, you know, bless somebody else. I can still, if I don't have $100 to give, I can still give a dollar. There are things I can still do without losing my joy, without getting anxious. That's what it means to be content. Your circumstances may be lean right now. What do you do when they're lean? You learn to be content. You learn not to covet. Well, they got this. I should have this too. I'm going to go get theirs. It's not yours. You have to learn to be content in God's plan for your life. And you learn and you grow and you do what you can do. You do what you can do. You put your hands to whatever you can put your hands to, always expecting the promise. Not losing sight of the promise, always expecting God to fulfill what he said. If God said it, we expect God to fulfill it. Okay? In his time, how he wants to do it, the way he wants to do it, sometimes we bring our own thing into it. Well, it needs to happen this way and this way, and I thought it would come this way or whatever, and you know, that vessel seems dried up, and this vessel seems dried up, and if those are dried up, those are only two vessels I can see, how can he do it? No, God has a way. Yes. He has a way to get things to you, to get you where he wants you to be. Sometimes he's moving you along and you don't even realize it. You think the tragedy and the leanness that you're facing right now is stopping you, and sometimes it is propelling you into what God has for you. Will he not clothe you, you of little faith? Verse 29, and do not seek what you will eat, what you will drink. He's not saying don't go to the grocery store. Okay, not, he's not saying that. Not saying don't go to the grocery store. He's saying don't worry. Don't worry where it's coming from. Do not seek what you will eat, what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. Do not keep worrying. Well, Brian, I've been worrying. Do not keep. Do not keep worrying. Okay? You've been worrying? Okay. We understand. We understand. Okay? S-T-O-P, Elder McNeese. Yes. S-T-O-P. Stop. Okay? Do not keep worrying, for all these things, the nations. We're hearing a lot about the nations right now, right? All these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, eagerly worry about. But your Father, somebody say my Father, your Father knows that you need these things. He knows what you have need of even before you ask. He doesn't say don't ask, but he does know what you have need of even before you ask. Your Father knows that you need these things, but instead of doing all this worrying and all this fretting, but seek his kingdom, talking about kingdom focus tonight, seek his kingdom, and I wrote it down, that word seek, it means to seek literally or figuratively, especially to worship God. To worship God in the midst of the trial. Seeking his kingdom involves just worshiping God. I'm focused on the kingdom of God. I'm focused on God. I'm worshiping God. It means to seek means to go about. Go about the business of the kingdom. It means to desire, to endeavor, to inquire, to require, to seek after. Seek the kingdom. Seek his kingdom, and these things will, not might not, these things will be added to you. And I really like verse 32. Again, we see it again. Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, little flock. Look how he talks to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yes. Little flock, yes. You belong to him. He takes care of you. Yes. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Yes. That's one of the ways we know it's now as well as in the future. All the things that he's been talking about that lead up to this have been natural today things. And he says, do not be afraid. Your Father has gladly chosen to give you the kingdom to address all of this stuff that you're worrying about. We have an unshakable kingdom that we are citizens of, that we belong to. So in the time, the season that we're in, that we find ourselves in, let's stay focused. Let's stay informed. Let's understand what's going on around us. But let's in the midst of, we talked about last Wednesday, watch and pray. Don't just watch. Because you just watch and hear and hear and hear and hear, you might be tempted to get afraid. Right? But if you watch and declare, watch and pray, Pastor Michelle said, you know, prayer, you know, there's a lot of things that prayer means, right? Watch and pray. You can watch and declare. You can watch and ask. You can watch and decree. You can watch and intercede. But he says, watch and pray. Don't just absorb all this, but be watchful, be prayerful in the midst of all this. But keep your eyes fixed on the kingdom of God. Know that you are part of an unshakable kingdom. And even though the kingdoms of this world are shaking around us right now, the kingdom that I represent, the kingdom that I'm a part of, it's still business as usual. And everything that was available yesterday from that kingdom is still available today. Everything that was working yesterday in that kingdom is still working today. And I can pull on and draw from that kingdom, bring it into this earth, and be a blessing to everyone else that I'm around that God leads me to, because I am drawing from, you don't have that, you need that. Let me pray for you. Let me declare over you. Let me draw from this kingdom that I'm a part of, right? And distribute life to you. Amen. So you can experience that kingdom. When Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is drawn near. So you can experience that kingdom and have the opportunity to hook up with the king that I'm hooked up with. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's the message for tonight, Pastor Richard.
There we are. Well, I got two things. One real quick. Most of you that are watching, I know certainly everybody in here is a part of that kingdom. Utilize everything that Brother Brian just ministered on. You are part of that kingdom. But there is a obligation to share it with others. You are the church. If you are a believer, you are the church of the living God. And all of this stuff is available to you. It is the unshakable kingdom. And we are a part of it. We live in it. We are baptized into it. We are born into it. We are the kingdom of God. But it is our duty and our responsibility to share that with others around us. Yes, we get what we can, but we do what we need to do, but be sure that you are sharing, because the other group that's watching, and there may be some, they're looking for hope because they're not part of this unshakable kingdom. They feel alone, they feel isolated, they don't know what to do. Many words of God have been given that God is using this time. He's setting this up. Now, did he bring the virus? No, that is from the pits of hell. God doesn't do that to his people. But he's using it, he's working these things out for good for those that love God, but he is calling people into his kingdom. Brand new people that have never been in the kingdom before. They're searching. They are scared. They are uneased. They are looking for answers. They are looking for hope. We have that hope if we are in that kingdom. Share that hope. Be the church. Rise up. Rise up. Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Be the church. Say, well, I'm just stuck here in my house. Call somebody. There's so many things that you can do. Just pray for somebody, even if you don't know who they are. God save souls. Bring them into your kingdom. And I would say that if you're not a part of the unshakable kingdom that Brother Brian was just talking about, if you don't know, and if you are scared, if you don't have a hope, call out to God. call out. Jesus said, or Paul said in Romans, that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that he has risen from the dead, and you confess with your mouth, that you will be saved, and you can be a part of the goodness of God, the goodness of the kingdom of God. Call out to him now and let peace and hope flood your heart. We love you. We pray for you. We know that in this time there are opportunities to become the victorious, overcoming, glory-filled, glory-manifesting church of the Most High God. We're not together physically right now, but when we come back, and don't even put, I'm sorry, I don't want to say that again. Not when we come back, now begin calling in and begin stirring your spirit to allow the glory of God to manifest in your life and on somebody else's life. The glory, the demonstration of power. Pray for somebody. Talk to somebody. Be the church. Rise up. As we started this tonight, we are rising to be the church of the living God, to be the kingdom of God to the whole earth, so that others may have hope and come in. Amen. So glad that you joined us tonight. We'll be back on Sunday morning at 10:30. It's Resurrection Sunday on this coming up. We're going to have communion as part of the assembly. So be sure you go out and get your sacraments, some grape juice and some crackers or whatever you can find, if there's anything left in the stores. But God will provide. God will provide. But be ready to participate with us as we celebrate the blood and the body of our Lord. Hallelujah. This is Passover week. It's also Passion week. It's all wrapped up. I have an excitement in my spirit that as things are shifting and turning and changing, that great things are in store very, very soon. Praise God. I call you blessed. I say you are blessed of the Lord, and whom the Lord is blessed, none can curse. That you are the light of the world. You shine in the darkness, and you are the sweet-smelling aroma of the presence and fragrance of God in every place, so that the world knows that God is great. And everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful, because God has favor on you and surrounds you with his goodness and mercy. You are loved. You are blessed. Go with God, or stay with God, whether you're going or staying. But we love you. We will be back Sunday morning. God bless you.